Okay, so for our last share of the year. Okay, to get two issues out. So one is the issue of Zechiya. Most of our modern Erevin are not like the Erevin in time of Chazal, where Kanireh, everyone came and they gave you a little bit of flour and they gave you a little bit of bread and you have to get into the question of a loaf, a slice, and things like that. We rely on the mechanism the Gemara introduces, the Mishnah introduces, and the Gemara expounds upon in Source 1 of Zikoy, where one person sets a Erev for everybody, but he gives over rights, he gives over ownership of the Erev, the food in the Erev, to the other people who are being mishtatef, either in the Chatzar, in the Mavui, through being mezakeh to them, which is a mechanism we know from the world of Choshen Mishpat, that I can, you know, pick up a lost object and say, instead of picking it up for myself, I'm picking it up on behalf of Yisrael Meir, and assuming that it's a pure schus, he doesn't have any reason why he would not want it, so zachen ladam shel b'fanav, I can give it to, I can make it his without him knowing about it. And we have the same mechanism, here in Erevin. The question we're going to have to deal with is, to what extent is this mechanism similar to the mechanism that looks almost identical in the world of Choshen Mishpat, but is in fact just another iteration of Zikui, of being Mezakeh from the world of Choshen Mishpat, from normal Dinei Mamonos, or is this unique to the world of Erevin, and what exactly are the parameters of it? So the Mishnah says in one, Ketzad Mishtanfin v'mavi. How do you make a shittus? So minich tachavis v'amar rezo chol b'nei mavi. So if you have one person doing it, so he takes a barrel of food, and he says, this is for everyone in the mavi, mezakel hen al yidei b'no vita agadolim, and he can use zikui, so he can make it theirs through giving it to his son, his daughter, who are gedolim, which we'll see what that word means. The avda v'shichasu evrim, or is Jewish servants or maidservants. Ayde ishto avleina mezakel ayde bino vito akdana, but not through his children who are ketanim, which again we'll have to define what it means in this context. V'lo yede avdo v'shichasu hakinanim, and not his non-Jewish servants. Mipnei she yadon ki yado, because they are incapable of effectuating a kinyan, an acquisition, because they have no legal rights that he doesn't have. So, or their legal rights are connected directly to his. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Chavish al Shitufei Mavot Sarach Lahagbiya Min Akarka Tefach. Now, how are you going to do this? So, you have to lift it off the ground one Tefach. So, the words in Meisvei, Ketzin Mishtaf Mavot Mivin Chavish al Yayin, Vishal Shemin Vishal Tmam Vishal Groz Vishal Sharmin and Paris, Imi Shalot Sarach Lazak, Vishal Yayin Sarach Lahodiya, Magmiya Min Akarka Mashu. The Gemara says we have another statement which says that you only have to lift it a little bit. So my mashu, nami digamar tefach. The Gemara says no. When it says mashu, it means a little bit. It just means a tefach. Tefach isn't that much. Then the Gemara brings a machlokas about whether, in fact, you have to do this at all. Itmar shitufei mavos, Rav Amar ein tzarach lezakos, Shmuel Amar tzarach lezakos. So in the context of shituf of a mavui, so Rav says you don't even need this, and Shmuel says you do. Eruvei tchumen, Rav Amar tzarach lezakos, Shmuel Amar ein tzarach lezakos. By tchum, Rav says you need it, and Shmuel says not. So Bishlam v'Shmuel hachitanan v'hachalotanan. Shmuel, it's very simple. Our Mishnah says that you need to be mezaket in the case of Erev Chatzer Shitufim Avos. It doesn't bear of tchumen. That's why he says you don't need it. El Rav my time. According to Rav, why wouldn't you need it? So the Gemara says Tanoi itzamachlus and Amar Rav Nachman Nachtinan Echad Ruvei Tchumen Echad Ruvei Chatzeres Echad Shetuvim Mavos Tzarich Lazakos. We paskin that you need to be mezaket in all these cases. If you want to set an Erev Tchumen for someone else, you have to do it through Zikui. You have to be mezaket. If you want to Erev Chatzeres Shetuvim Mavos, you have to be mezaket. Otherwise, it doesn't work. And just parenthetically, Tosfos here notes why misvara would you preference Tchumen over Chatzeres or vice versa. So Tosfos says, the Chavin the Asar Ale Gamar Umakni Lay. Ubi Tchumen Tzarich Lezakos, the Asar Ale Velo Gamar Umakni, here's Bekuntris. Ulishmua, but Mavi Tzarich Lezakos, the Mikne Rishosi, the Ksavar Erev Mishum Kinyan. So he says, the reason you would need Kinyan more by Tchumen than by Erev Chatzeres, because Erev Chatzeres is never bad. Or almost never bad, right? You usually want to be able to carry. So if someone can make you carry, so it's a pure schos. Tchum, it's not true. Tchum allows me to carry 2,000 amos in that direction, but not in the other direction, and it will replace my current standing. So therefore, you would have to actually give it over. On the other hand, the reason you might think you need schos specifically by Eruv Chatzeros and not by Erev Tchum in the position of Shmuel says because Shmuel holds uniquely that Eruv chatzeres mishum kinyan, that you have to have ownership in it. So therefore, he thinks you need to, therefore, have someone give you ownership in it. Now, in Maskana, we reject all of this, and we say, in each case, you need to own the part of the Eruv, whether it's Kulman, whether it's Eruv Chatzeres, whether it's Shitufim Avaos. Now, without getting to the details of Tosas back and forth, what I would point out is that as I opened, one of the questions we have to deal with here is to what extent is this chus, the classic chus from Dine Mamonos, once the Tosos tells you that there's a reason to not need it by Tchumen and need it by Erev Chatzeres or vice versa. But Lamaskana, we say you need it by all of them, even though there's still a logic why you wouldn't need it in either case. That's a reason to wonder whether this is normal schus. Because once you say there's a good reason why you shouldn't need schus, and yet you need it anyways, that's a good reason to think that maybe this isn't a normal schus. Okay, so with that question, we can basically test the question of to what extent this is a normal schus through a few issues. So the first issue is, who are these ketanim? Right, the Gemara says, Mishnah says already, that you can, when you give it over, so not only can I give it over to Yisrael Meir, if I'm the Rav and I'm making the Erev Chatzeres and give it to Yisrael Meir for the whole city, I could give it to my son, right? Now, I can't give it to Meir because he's three, but at what point does he stop being a katan for these purposes? And there are two possibilities. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the context not of Erev Chatzeros, but in the context of Zchus in general, suggests the following. So the Mishnah says, Mitzias b'no vito aktanim, if your child who is a katan, again that ambiguous word, if he finds something, Mitzias out of Shechaso Kananim, or your non-Jewish servants or maidservants, Mitzias ishto, your wife, Hareil Shalo, you own it. Mitzias b'no vito akdolim, Mitzias out of Shechaso Evrim, Mitzias ishto, Shagir Shafo Bishlanosan, Ksuba, Hareil Shalo, if it's your children who are gidolim, again, whatever that means, or your Jewish servants, or your wife who is now divorced, even if you haven't yet given the ksuba, they own the lost object that they pick up. And Amar Shmuel, b'pnei ma amru metzias katan la'aviv, why do we say that if a child picks up a lost object, goes to his father, shebisha shemotza miritzei tzal aviv, eino ma'achar biyado, because he runs to his father to give it to him. So then the Gemara says, okay, but pliga de Rebchia bar Abba, this position argues in Rebchia bar Abba, because Shmuel assumes that when the Mishnah says katan, it means a minor. However, Rebchia bar Abba says it doesn't. Amar Rebchia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo gadol gadol mamish, lo katan kamatan mamish. We don't mean adults, and we don't mean minors. Ella gadol v'somech al shulchan aviv zeu katan. Katan v'somech al shulchan aviv zeu gadol. For the purpose of lost objects, what's important is not whether the person has reached bar bat mitzvah, it's whether or not he is currently supported by his parents. If he's supported by his parents, even if he's 14 or 15, so then he's a katan, and what he finds goes to his father. If he's 11, but he's moved out of the house and he's the CEO of a successful company, which, whatever, you have all those fun stories that you find online, so then he's not somech. And the reason, which I didn't get into, that the Gemara says is Mishum Eva, because if someone is being supported by his father, and then he finds a lost object, so his father, right, would feel weird as, oh, my son found this. Look, I'm supporting him. Why does he get to keep the lost object? If his son is 11, but he's off making millions as a successful CEO, so okay, so he finds something in the street. Gesunte hate. The Rambam in four.
The fundamental question I always have with that is that a takana, or is that expressing the nature of the relationship?
So, right, so that's part of the issue, and that's what we're going to get to. We're going to get to that. So, the Rambam paskins in four. You know, I won't necessarily read inside. He passed on like Rebchia bar Abba. The purpose of mitzia, katan and gadol, isn't someone who's reached bar bat mitzvah. It is someone who's somech or not somech al shulchan aviv. The other sugya where this comes up is number five, the Gemara in Gittin, in the context of what qualifies someone to be a katan or a gadol to accept a get. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Vazi." Tzor v'zarko egos v'not lo zochel atzmo v'zochel achirim. If the child is old enough to distinguish between a rock and a nut, such that if you give him a rock, he will throw it away. If you give him a nut, he will keep it. Or the opposite, if that's what he wants to know. But the point is he understands what it is in his hand. You give him something and he knows that he has to return it after an hour. So then he can be zocha for himself and for others. He says, no, both of them can be zocha to other people. And the Yerushalmi is a slightly different formulation, but we'll just stick with the Bavli. But the Gemara says, but wait a second, is that true? But we said that how do you make a shituf in a mavui? Maniach zachavis ve'omer reizul chol b'nei amavim mizaklam ha'idei b'no vito ha'gedolim ha'idei avdo v'shivcha so'a ivrim. Hai shivcha echidami. What's the case of shivcha? Idas da'as yishay sairos. If she is an adult, so then my boy gavet, she's no longer a shivcha because the shivcha goes free when she becomes 12. Or she has sairos when she reaches maturity. El lav lo as yishay sairos isn't where she isn't. Uktani zoch lachem. And yet, even though she's a minor, we say that she's able to be mizaka to others. The Gemara answers, shiny shitufe mavos derabanan. Shitufe mavos is different, it's derabanan. So now what does that mean? The Gemara here clearly introduces that you're able to use a child who's a shivcha, even though you shouldn't be able to in general, because shitufe mavos is derabanan. So in light of this Gemara, the question that we show him says, okay, a shivcha can do it when she's a ktana because shitufe mavos derabanan. We have, the Mishnah says that a katan cannot give, cannot do the zikui of a Eruv Chatzer or Shituf Mavos. We have a Gemara in Bava Metzia which tells you that the way we define katan and gadol for the purpose of schus in general is not 13 or below 13, 12 below 12, but rather relying on a parent's house or not. What is the halacha by Eruvin? Right? Do we... So once we have this statement, Shani Shituvus Mevaos Derabanan, do we say Eruv is not a real schos, the whole thing's Derabanan, and we said it's not really about schos, and therefore we can be more lenient, and we don't rely on the normal rules of schos that we find in Mitzvah? Or does the word Shani Shituvus Mevaos Derabanan tell us that the schos by Eruv HaChatzeros is different than it is in Kol HaTorah Kula? We'll skip six for a moment, we'll come back to it. This halacha is a machlokas, Tosos, and the Rambam. The Tosos says in 7, Umezaklam al yidei b'no vito agdolim, Omer b'nu tam, Dor b'yochron, Domer paragam, Domer mitzia, Gam mitzia, Lo gadol gadol mamesh, V'hu adin hacha, V'tzarech lizoyer, Shalol lozakos eir al b'nei gadol, Hasomich l'shulchano, D'yado ki yad avivu, V'avog av d'shmuel polog, Alei hasam, Er gadol gadol mamesh, Kaimel anker b'yochron, Gavi shmuel. So we paskin in the Gemara above the mitzia that Gadol means someone who's not reliant on his father. Katan means someone who isn't reliant on his father. And that's what it means here, because what it says there, it says here, and that's the halacha. And then you'll say, well, wait a second. How could it be that an 11-year-old who relies on his father is able to mizaki? He's a katan. Not a problem. Shituf mevaos derabanan. Fine, but Tosos basically carries over the rules from the world of Schus in Choshen Mishpat to the rules of Eruvin. The Rambam does not. The Rambam in 8, though he ruled above in the context of Schus in general that Katan and Gadol go by Somech Hashulchan Aviv. Here he says no. He said Lokach Echem Neachatzer Pasachas V'Amar Harezu L'Chol B'Neachatzer Ochel Kishtei Sudos V'Amar Harezu L'Chol B'Nei Mavui Ein Tzarach L'Gavus M'Kol Echem Echad Ol Tzarach L'Zakos M'Al Yidei Acher. You need to do Schus V'Yish Lo L'Zakos Al Yidei Bino Vito Hagdolim Al Yidei Avdo Avir V'Al Yidei Ishto Avalo Al Yidei Bino Vito Hagdanim Lo Yidei Avdo V'Shichaso Kananim Bnei Sheyadan Kiyado V'Chein Yish L'Zakos L'Ana Yidei Shichaso Ivritz etc. And he says Katan Gadol, and he doesn't clarify in the assumption of everybody, basically, is the Rama means it. When he says Gadol, he means Gadol Mamish. He means a 13-year-old. When he says Katan, he means someone under 13. So here you have a machlokas between Tosos and the Rambam. Tosos says that whatever is true of Schus in general is true in Eruvin. The Rambam says, no, that's not the case. Whatever is true in the world of Zechus, in Choshen Mishpat, is not true in the world of Eruvin. So there's two ways of understanding that, and in 9, Shulchan Aruch quotes both. Shulchan Aruch's psak is, if you just will do this and then we'll explain it, so first he quotes the position of the Rambam, and then he quotes Ishto, Vayde Ishto, Afapi Shuhumal Lamazonus, Vil Ein Labayas Bechatzah, we'll come back to that in a minute. And some say, like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's about relying on it. And then if you skip down, He says, L'chadchila, there's three lines at the bottom, L'chadchila, tov lachosh, l'divrei shneim, echad efshar. L'chadchila, you should find a 15-year-old who has moved out of the house, right? You should be yotzei both, but the Rama writes, uvidiavad, somchal, divrei mekel be'erov, but the eved, whether it's a 12-year-old, who is reliant, is not reliant on you, or a 13-year-old who is reliant on you, post facto, halachi divrei mekel be'erov, and will let you be mekel on either shita. Either the Rambam or Rabbeinu Tam, and then he adds, "V'chein gadol sheyesh lo isha aval pisha somech al shulchan aviv mizaken al yado." And a married child, it, even if he's somech al shulchan aviv, according to everybody, is not considered somech, because once you're married, you are somewhat independent. We hope, or we halachically insist that you are considered independent. Vafilu lechatchila v'natzarch lo'diyah lo'zem, etc. Okay, fine. So I think there are two ways of understanding the machlokas Rambam and Tosfos. One is how many of the Acharonim explain it. You know, there's long discussions of this in many of the Acharonim. Is to just say that, yeah, the Machlokas, Rama Matosas, is very simply, is the Zchus of Eir HaTzeros the Zchus of Kol HaTorah Kula or not? Right? According to Tosfos, it is. And according to the Rambam, it is not. That's it. Right? It's very simple. Right? This is not a real Dinei Mamonos issue. This is a mitzvah issue. And therefore, we go by Gadol and Katan like we would in mitzvahs. Tosfos says, no, the way we structure the mitzvah is after the monetary world. And if we say that Eruv and Chatzeres, you need to own it, so you need to own it through Schus. And once we're saying you need to own it, so we model it after the world of Choshen Mishpat. Zehu, end of story. The other possibility is what Rabbi Turchiner was noting, is that maybe they're not arguing at all about the nature of Eir HaTzeros. They're arguing about why is it that the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that a katan doesn't have the ability to be mezakeh. So here I'll just skip to it for you. If you skip to number 13, the Shut Zakin Aron, which is not in Bar Ilan, so I just put the summary from the Daf Al Adaf, says, Bir, betuvtam vidash deashitos, didas rabbeinu tam, the shikit Shekishetiknu Chazal Shemitziyasu La'aviv Hifkiu Me'aben Ligamre Din Yad. He says, what is the nature of this halacha? It was once Chazal said that a katan cannot do schus, it's because they said, not like technically it'll cause Eva, so we let the father have it, as we established this is the normal way things work, and now a katan has no rights, as is defined in the Gemara, right? A katan Asomech Al Shulchan Aviv has no legal ability to be kona anything. That was how we were kovei the halacha. This wasn't sort of some technical halacha mishum eva, which doesn't apply in the context of eruvin. The point is that the takana of Chazal, once they said that a katan asomach hashulchan aviv doesn't have a yad, it means he has no yad. Mashenkin a rama barif sovrim dlofkiu mimenu din yad elishu zochel machmas eva aviv zochel mimenu. The Ram and the Rif say no. Really, a katan, even someone who's somech al shulchan aviv, who lives in his father's house, is able to own. But because of Eva, we create a secondary takana that it should go from him to his father. But in the case of Eruvin, that's not applicable, right? Because what does the father care? The father's giving it to him, dimezaka, to everybody else in the chotzer.
This isn't where I was going, but it's okay.
I'm saying, that question of what, right, whether this is...
The question is more fundamental. In other words, is the whole Eva issue of saying the father gets it because of Eva, is that a takana at all? Or is it actually just human nature? In other words, we are mind reading.
Right.
It's just the way they do things.
Right, so you do...
He runs it to his father. That's what you mean?
Well, yes, except that was a preceding argument.
Would it change based on society and stuff like that?
Society would change based on the particular individuals involved.
Oh, so it sounds like it wouldn't, because, meaning, in the end of the day, it sounds like, according to everybody, we made some sort of takana based on
That's
it. We'll see in a little bit that what might not be true, like, it may be at somewhat societally contingent, but there seems to be some sort of takana. As I said, the Zakan Aron does think that what's going on here is a machlokas about the issue. We'll come back to that issue in a little bit in the Kaf HaChayim.
Many places in the Shas you have words given to the child on Tanai that the father doesn't.
Yeah, so
can't be zoichet, then how does that help?
Right, so some of the Acharonim get it. Well, so that this is a difference between him owning it and being mizake to others, right? To take ownership is easier than giving ownership, right? By Zchus, he isn't just taking ownership, he's taking ownership on behalf of other people, right? So he's being mizake, which always requires a higher level. Okay. So, but that's question one, which again could be a machlokas in what is the nature of kinyan erevin, or could be a machlokas about what does it mean that a katan doesn't have a yad in general. Similarly, is the question of wife, right? So, if you look back here at six, the Gemara in Nidarim, in the context of a woman being mezaka, says masnisin b'sheish lachatzer bozo mavoyas kinan demigu dezochel anafshe zochel achrin. Normally, when a woman is married, so again, her rights go to her husband. So the Mishnah, the Gemara explains that this is only true if she doesn't have an independent property. But if she has independent property, so then she's able to be mezakeh to others because she has an independent yad to an extent. So the poskim asks the exact same question about ishto, right? When we say that your wife, you're allowed to use your... when the Mishnah says that you... You can use your wife for to be mezakeh. Is it only in the way the Gemara in Darm sets it up? If your wife also has independent property within your chatzer, and therefore she has her own yad, or do we say that even though a wife doesn't have full schus, it doesn't matter for the purpose of erevin? So you look back at Shulchan Aruch now in 9. By the ishto case, so the ishto afal pisha yimalala mizonos vafilo ein la bayis bechatzer. So Shulchan Aruch in the first day says it doesn't matter, right? The woman can always do it whether or not she has her own rights in the chatzer, because here this isn't like the rest of Choshen Mishpat. But 3 lines later, it's v'yesh omrim. Etc. Other people say no, it's the same halachos as in general, and it's the only type of woman who can be zocha on the eruv on behalf of others, the one who has independent rights. If not, not. So the exact same halachos you have by katan, you have by ishto. And again, the same thing. Shulchan Aruch has two deos. B'dieved, we're so meich on either one lahakel, because halacha never make up eruv. But again, the same machlokas by katan is the same machlokas by isha. Nafkamina number 3 is tefach. The Gemara says that when you're mezaket, or I use Yisrael Meir to be mezaket the eruv on behalf of the whole city, he has to pick it up a tefach from the ground. The Rishonim have a machlokas. Does the fact that the schos by eruv only requires you to pick up the eruv one tefach on the ground, does that prove that in general, to be mezakeh, you only need to pick something up one tefach? Or is this not an evidence for anything else, and everywhere else you need 3 tefachim? So Tosus in 10 says, Tzarech lagbiyam in akarka tefach, mikan ein lochiach da'agba asagi b'tefach, d'shayni shtuvim avos, d'rabanan, v'neid v'teida d'halo ka'asi ha'achal ashmin and din agba b'chom akam. Tosus says, doesn't prove anything. Shituf is different. Now again, here we could get into a little bit of complicated issues, because Tosus before was the one who said that we borrow the normal rules of schos in general, and here he says this, the masa is different. So this may push you in the direction of the Zaken Aron, right? That Tosus's position that a katan, the rule of that we borrow the rules of schos from katan, is not because he thinks that this is a full choshen mishpat halacha, because he doesn't in terms of the maaseh. It's based on what does he think about the status of the yad of a katan. Alternatively, these are different balei Tosos, because this is an unnamed balei Tosos, and that was Rabbeinu Tam. So we don't really know. It could just be that there are different balei Tosos. I didn't take the time to actually do the academic work and try to trace who the anonymous voice is, which you could try by looking through all of the cognate Tososim, but that takes a very, very long time. If I come up with something, then I will send it out. The Rambam on the... goes in. So in 11, the Rashba and the Ritva is a similar expanse on this. He says, "Adam Rabbi Yehuda Chavish Lashituvim Mavod Tzarech Lagbiyam in a Karka Tefach Yesh Mefarshim Shemarev Mishalom Zaklem Tzarech Azoka Lagbiya Tefach Kdei Lagnosa Bagbazu Vavakav Dekam Lagbabos Kniel Almas Tzarech Lagbiya Shlosh Tefachim." Rashi's al bekidushin, gabehem agasim opil hechikani le harbeir v'nir abano fil tevach sagi le. So he quotes the vision of Tosos that this is different. In general, you need 3 tevachim, and here you need 1 because this is a different type of kinyan. Hagaonim zal perish bechol ma'ariv mishum heker she'achavis nikeres bein ashar chavios, and the gaonim go in this direction as well, and they say it's only a heker, but Rashi. However, did I cut out the piece of Rashi? Rashi says it's one tefach in general, right? Rashi argues that no, this is in fact not here, but in the other sugyas in Kiddushin, argues that you only need one tefach in general. Oh, it is here, right?
End of the second line. Come on, Perish Rashi.
Oh, question about yeah. Okay, fine. And Rashi says, right, you need right only one tefach, right, in general. So you have this machlokas again. Now here, the Rambam Lishitaso says that this is doesn't prove anything about Charat Arakula. He paskins like the Gaonim that the Rajba cites and says, and right, Chachin already quoted this, that it's only about Heke, right, in 12. Kez Mishat Mimave, Gove Ochel, Kid Grogeres, Mikol Echad Vechad, Opach Migreres, Imarubin, Mniacha Kol Bechad Bechatzer. Mechatzer Zamavui, etc. And then he says in the third line, second end of the second line, Uniach Akli Bechatzer Tzarch Lagbia Aklim and Akarka Tevach Kadeshe Nikar. Right, you need to lift it one tevach, not because that's what you need for schus in general, but because you want it to be distinguishable, and that's why it's tevach. So it's not the same as the rest of the Torah.
The heker is the act of lifting, or where it's situated?
So it sounds, right, we had this deal in last week. We would think it's where it's situated, but it doesn't seem to be true. The Rambam seems to say that it lifts up. I also thought that the first time I read the Rambam, but I reread it. I don't think that's true. I think the Rambam, you could have thought that it needs to be.
The Rambam's language, I think, is inclined to say, as I had said during the shiur, that he's simply picking it up and then putting it down. The problem is that everybody else commenting on it takes it as though he means you actually elevate it.
Right, so some people seem to say that, but
the heker by just lifting it a tefach.
Yeah.
Only because at the moment that you do the hanafah.
Yeah, I mean, from the Gemara, it sounds like you put wherever. Yeah.
I keep in mind, the Mi'iri said they don't even have to know where it is. So really, it's the moment of hanafah that we really care about. And then afterwards, it can be a high in a room that no one knows is there.
Yeah. Okay, so far we have three potential nafkaminas, right? Which is one, how do we define katan in this context? Two, how do we define ishto in this context? And three, does the fact that a hagbah of tefach is sufficient here teach us that in general, to be mezaka, you only need tefach and not shlosha tefachim? And again, each of those you could theoretically explain in different ways, but those are the potential nafkaminas, each of them, which is a machalokas. Well, not the... Two of them are machlokas in Erevin. One of them is a machlokas in the other ones in Choshen Mishpat. A fourth nafkamina is, are there cases where you do not need to be mezakeh, where you're making an Erev on behalf of everybody? Can you sometimes give it up? So here, we've seen this case many times. If Erev Shabbos, you are all sitting around, and one person decides, oh, we're going to... You know, let's make an Erev. And the Gemara says you're allowed to rely on the meal that's sitting in front of you, right? You start Shabbos early, going into actual Shabbos, you already have joint food, so you don't need an Erev. There's a general machlokas amongst the Mefarshim, whether in that case you don't need an Erev, or that counts as your Erev. If you think that case means you don't need an Erev, it's not a proof for anything. Because it's just saying you don't need an Erev in a case where we actually have joint food. But some of the Mefarshim think that no, that case, you actually count the food as Erev. The Me'iri in 14 thinks that it is an Erev, and you don't need Schus. And he says, Perish, Eino Tzarech Lezakos Beferish, Ela, Palmim She'eino Tzarech Lezakos Beferish, Ela Stamo Keperusho, Vush Amru B'nei Chaburish, I'm Mesubin, V'kidish Nalayom, Pasha, L'Sholchan, Somchan, Alav, Misham Erov, V'amri, Misham Shidov, Lop, Ligi, Kan, Mesugin, B'bayez, Kan, Mesugin, B'chatzer, Perish, Einyan, Kegon, She'zman, Zezimnon, Echad, Lechel, Eslo, Mishalo, V'sasam, Dvarim, Kol, She'zmanam, V'cholim, Lechol l'daitem arev ki'ilu nishtadfu bo imo v'yeshlam bo schus kach pershik do le'ador, etc. The way the Me'iri understands that case is it's an actual Erov, but you don't need schus. Now again, if you think that case means you don't need an Erov when you have joint food, it doesn't prove anything. But the Me'iri clearly thinks that the schus isn't real schus because sometimes you can dispense with it. Right, so that's nafkamina 4. Are there times we can dispense with it? Again, that depends on how you understand that. So you have whether it's a real schus or whether it's a real Erov or... negates the need for an Erev, but that's nafkamina 4. The last nafkamina, number 5, is, okay, let's say I'm the rabbi, I make an Erev for the community for one Shabbos. After Shabbos, I want to take the food back, right? This is not the one in the shul. Easy case, hotel. I make an Erev Chatzeres for a hotel. I make it on behalf of everyone in the hotels. But after Shabbos, I want my batz of matzah back. I gave the box of matzah to Yisrael Meir on behalf of him. It was given to everybody. So now, Can I take it back? And if I take it back, how can I take it back? Right? Does it really belong to everybody? Or do we say the fact that I was mazakeh to him for the purpose of Eruv means that they don't really own it? So that is a machlokes mefarshim. I gave you the summary in the Daf Al Daf again because the Hamek Sha'Allah is not on Bar Ilan. Says you don't need monetary ownership. Eruv is not monetary ownership. What do we mean by schus? We mean everybody's allowed to use it. I give you the rights to use it so that we will all virtually live together. And he proves this from the fact that you can use truma for Yisrael, even though Yisrael can't eat it. And therefore, the Nitziv goes on to say that you can, afterwards, you can just take it back. But we'll see that in a minute. Next paragraph. Amnam sefer das Torah, but in the das Torah, kasher lein eruv chatzer, tzarich bailos gemura. He says no, eruv chatzer, you need real bailos. Vehevi ken gam yishevet sefer almogem. It's in the altei almogem. Shochiach ken megemara dam Rav Nachman echad eruv etchum echad eruv chatzer vechashuvim avos tzarich lezakos umuchach shetzarich bailos gemura. And then he tries to prove it from the Ber Halacha, says you don't need it. Because the Ber Halacha points out from Shulchan Aruch that you are allowed to retract, right? You're allowed to take it back, even once you were mizakim lachora cave into kinyan gamur. How could you say that, right, 3 hours before Shabbos I'm mizakim, and then an hour before Shabbos I decide I want to back out? How were you backing out of the Eruv? You just gave everybody rights in it. The answer is, it wasn't real. Bailos, a muchach she'ein zeh kinyan gamur. And the Shevet Alevi takes up this discussion 16. He says, hinei mikubal ani chayru veitchumen siburi bekamot, etc. So he says we set up a communal eruv chatzera, eruv tchumen. So then he says, what happens motzei Shabbos? Next line, achshav nafshu b'sheilasa echshar lahavnos lizman shem lo yechlenu yiyah shelo ad motzei Shabbos lachman ken yachar lebalusa shel moniach chedishia ponu b'Shabbos abol tzarchei acherim v'im nidrosh haknah mechadosh shayde hazocha sheyachzirena legabay l'rav im ken nafla b'bira kol inyon hanachas eruv tchumen tziburi. Here he has by Eruv Tchumen, but he's going to say that it's the same question as Eruv, as Eruvin in general. So he says, when I take it back, do I need to do a kinyan, or is it just mine? As soon as Shabbos is over, I don't have to do a kinyan. I'm allowed to take it back. No one else is allowed to take it because I gave you rights until the end of Shabbos, and that's it. So, and he says, Vadas Torah, etc. But the, and then he quotes the Machlokes. He says the Das Torah and the Atzel Mogim say you need full ownership, but the Nitziv says you don't. And I think the Nitziv is right. And therefore, if I say as soon as Shabbos is over, the Eruv comes back to me, it comes back to you. You don't even need to do a Kinyan. No one can come and try to steal my box of matzah. So Nafkamina number 5, which has two parts to it, is if before Shabbos I retract, I'm allowed to do that. And after Shabbos, do I need to do a kinyan to take back the box of matzah? If you think it's real ownership, like the Atzel Mogim and the Das Torah, it's a full kinyan, then I can't retract before Shabbos. And once I've done once I was mizakeh, and after Shabbos, someone else could grab that box of matzahs, and I have no taina on them. If I think, no, this isn't a real kinyan, it's a kinyan l'shem mitzvah, it's a kinyan so we should dwell together, so then I can retract before Shabbos, and after Shabbos, I can take it back. So that is nafkamina number 5.
You don't have any taina even on your chalakim?
What?
You're saying it belongs to everyone at that point after you do...
Right, and therefore I can't retract. I mean, right, I can't take it back. I gave it to you. Right, I gave it to the whole community. What am I going to do?
And that doesn't include yourself? Or are you
of course it does, but I can't... Meaning I could eat it, but I can't be choser. I can't say no one else has rights to it.
Okay, fine.
Right, I've given up that right. Okay. So now just to see halacha l'maisa, now that we've seen the 5 issues, so Shulchan Aruch, Siftes, this is 17. Emechem ne'achatzer rotze litein pas b'shvil kulam shapir dami. One person wants to do it for everybody, fine, v'vachi is going to let me de'achir, but you have to give it through somebody else. V'shizoz v'tzarech lagbiyo min akar katevach, v'tzarech lezakos lahem unchol b'ne'achatzer, omar v'yachom yishidoz miyom v'zeh v'aylach. He adds that if you want it to be other people coming in, so say that. V'yishom m'shavu b'shal yizko b'feir, v'zozim Aleim lev bezin masen aleim. Some people say that even if you don't explicitly say, and all people who will come to the city on Shabbos, lev bezin masen, and everybody is automatically included. I mean, those are the Yoren L'Achash, and this might have been Ashir, Tzarch Lohosif, Mach Masan, and if more people move in after there's not enough food in the Eruv, so then you do have to add. That was what we discussed last week. The Mishnah Berurah just qualifies all of this, or just explains. He says, Bishvil Kulam, Afil Shobufneim. That means even when they're not here, Vashi Iskanalami de Acher, de Atman, Yochel Zako. He said, of course, because you can't do it yourself. You can, that's why the Gemara says in the first place you have to do it through somebody else. In Nun, he says, through Acher means I give it to Yisrael Meir, and I say, pick it up on behalf of everybody. Nun Aleph, he just notes the machlokas of Tefach. He says, Tefach, and even according to Afil Dasa Omrim, Bechoshen Mishpat, this according to everybody in Kasavataz, do a demonichu la iruv al yodo atluya ba'avir, shachvi yodo tevach vain beralacha. He brings up something which we'll see in a moment in the beralacha. Well, you know, we'll hold that to the beralacha. Let's look at the beralacha. Look at 19. He says, okay, this is going to be nafkamina potentially number 6. He says, what happens if you don't pick it up at tefach? You close your hand around it. So, he says, so I'm the Mishnah Berurah Mashkod B'Shem HaTaz. V'emes ein din ze pashut. So the Taz says, look, in Choshen Mishpat, the halacha is, if I want to own something, I have two options. Either pick it up, or, right, someone gives me a ring and I close my hand, I now own it. What about Eruv? So here it's going to go the opposite way, right? If you think that this is a real dini mamanos, schus, so then, just like everywhere else, if I take a ring and I put it in my finger, it now belongs to me. So by Eruv, that's also going to be true. But if you think like the Rambam, no, it's not a real Kenyan, what is it? It's a Heker. You need to show this is the Eruv, then just because it works in the world of Choshen Mishpat doesn't mean it'll work in Eruvin. So this is Nafkamina number 6, but this time, the Chumrah is those people who think it's not a real Kenyan, it's only a Heker. So the Taz thinks it's basically a normal Kenyan. So if it works in the world of Choshen Mishpat, it works in Eruvin. But the Mishnah Berurah says that's not obvious. Ain't it din Pasha b'chol gavne, din my Eruv kulam munach b'yado, ain't sarach lag b'yaklal, di yado kona b'li tamak ba. Right, he said that's not obvious. Right? Because, and he goes on to explain, because if you need it to be a heker, right, that wouldn't be true, right? If this is different, it's not going to work. So that's what he deals with here. So that's nafkamina number 6. Okay, if you go back to the Mishnah Berurah, so in Nun Gimel, it says, Yesham Rafa Pi, Alashim Mikutsar, Mi'ikar Adin, Bavada Eno, Ken Elbiz Menenu, Yeshlis Mahazem Achar, Dan Nogin, Laniach, Erev Alkol, Hashanam Istaman, who's Havan Gamal, and Ashim Shemitosim, Meshach Hashanah, Vachin, Alashim, Vemes, Vezos, Vachin, Kavazam, Vachaber Khan. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to bring a machlokes of whether you actually need to say, and I'm Mizaka to all people who move in over the course of the year. He says, nowadays, everyone agrees you don't have to do that because that's the Eruv we set up. It's always for anybody who happens to move in, so it's just assumed. When they didn't used to do that, you can have a machlokas. Nowadays, there is no machlokas. Okay, so now let's skip to Sif Yud. So this is what we already read. We've already read Chaf. I just gave it to you again, which is your children, etc., etc. The Chazon Ish notes in 21 that the one case, normally the halacha is you don't have to tell the person, you don't have to get permission from a person to include him in an Eruv because it's a schus for him. He says the one exception is if somebody, their house borders two chatzeros, and by joining into your Eruv chatzeros, he can't live in the other one. He said in that case, the Chazon Ish points out, obviously it's not a straight schus, so then you have to tell him because it's not schus gamor. Okay, Mishnah Berurah in 22.
He wouldn't answer.
What?
If he joined the other one, he would.
Well, because he could only carry in one and not the other, right? He could carry from one chatzer.
But he doesn't aser everybody else in your chatzer.
Correct. He wouldn't aser. Right. Yes. Right. Because it's only whichever chatzer he's in. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah here just summarize a lot of the issues that I've said. Right? So we won't read through it. Basically, I've incorporated the Mishnah Berurah's analysis as we were going through it. 23, he just notes parenthetically that obviously in this case, if you have a Malamed or a Sofer, right, if you have a worker for you, he's not a servant. He just is a worker, like he's a, you know, he's a private tutor and he lives in your house and he happens to be Ochal Shulchano, he can make an Eruv, right? Because he is a Gadol. It just happens to be that he's supported from you. On the Kavachayim, this gets to Turchiner's points of how would we define things psychologically and sociologically and stuff like that. So he says, okay, the Gemara, the halacha was that a married child is considered independent because for whatever reason, even if he's being supported by you, we look at him as being independent. So he says, What about Huadinim Nasa Vegiresh? What if he got married, now he's divorced? So he says, presumably, then he can make an Eruv. Because I assume, because societally, once someone has been married, we view them as somewhat independent. Even if he's now moved back into his parents' house, right? He's not the single kid who never moved out. He's the married kid who got divorced and had to move back into his parents' house. And psychologically, like, that's different societally. Now, I don't know if that's totally in our society or even theirs. But he notes that if someone's only engaged, right, he's still a kid, right? An engaged person isn't independent. A divorced person is. Okay. One more halacha that relates to this issue is, can you use a kinyan sudar for schus, right? Instead of giving Yisrael Meir the food and saying, pick it up, I say, Yisrael Meir, right, do a kinyan sudar on behalf of everybody and take ownership of it. So the Aruch HaShulchan in 25 says, or is this in 26? 26. 26 says, yes, you can use a, you can use a kinyan sudar. In 25, what he says is, I already said that. Oh, it's just grandkids, right? In 26, he says, grandkids are not considered reliant on your table because, now here is where you get to the psychological issue. Is it a formal rule, right, or not? Because grandkids living in your house, presumably you'd say, are just as dependent as kids, but it's not technically in the category that the Gemara said, right? So it's reflecting a, right, it says,
right, because they're really not samach on you.
Right.
Samach on somebody else who happens to be getting it from you.
Correct. Right. So if it was a psychological, like it was a societal thing, like, oh, he is relying on me because, you know, I have three generations living in my house and I'm supporting my kids and my grandkids. So you would say, well, my grandkids are totally dependent on me. If you say it's a formal halachic rule, so you say it's true that he's a minor and he's relying on my table, but really, he belongs to his, you know, his responsibilities are to his son, to my son, his father, right? So again, whether the Aruch HaShulchan is right, I think depends on this rule, right? If it's about the metzius, is he relying on me? Well, my grandkid is. If it's about the formalities, so technically, yes, the grandkid is just as dependent on me as my son who lives in my house, but technically, he's not my responsibility. I'm being nice to my son. So I think that would be a nafkamina to your question, which is the question of grandkids. Okay, in 27, the Kaf HaChaim suggests a eighth nafkamina, which is what if you always are mezakeh to someone, right? Every you go to a hotel, right, and it, with the same families every year, and you're always mezakeh, and then one Shabbos you forgot, right? Do we assume that you gave them rights even without a formal schos? So the Kaf HaChaim says yes. Right? He says, if I forgot, doesn't matter. You can be part of it based on the Gan HaMelech. I don't need a formal kinyan at all. So I think that's a very, this I don't think anyone would agree with, but in order to agree with it, you have to assume this is not a real schos. Right? Even if you think it's not a real schos, you may not agree with the Kaf HaChaim, but this is predicated on it being a not real schos. So that is nafkamina number 8. Okay, I'm going to skip the issue of 28, which is the Nachtom, and, yeah. Okay, one more issue in Schos, this is not a question of whether it's a real Schos or not, is when you are Zoche in it, does it have to be in front of you, right? Or can I, you know, do a Kinyan Sudar, right, back to the Kinyan Sudar, when it's not in front of me? So the Divrei Malkiel notes that the Chut Chaim Sha'al, in the context of Erev Tavshilin, says that you can't make an Erev Tavshilin unless the food is in front of you, and you can't, you know, be in shul and say, oh, that food is going to be my Erev Tavshilin. But the Divrei Malkiel says, I don't think that's true, because in Erev Chatzeros, it's obvious, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, I could use a Kinyan Sudar, right? I could be in shul and say to Yisrael Meir, here, take a Kinyan Sudar, be kone the Erev on behalf of everybody. He says, by Erev Chatzeros, I think for sure you don't have to be mezakeh in front of them. And then he thinks the same is true by Erev Tavshilin. And in general, I think that is how we paskin, that you do not have to be in front of them. And if you look in 13, I'm not going to read through all of it, just look at the Ola Halacha of the Betzel HaChachma. Says Aola Lahalacha, Gam ben Iskar Vesak Nesbot Yom Shal Erev Eru Chatzeres Yachal Hakan Zay Kinyan Sudar Zay Kikar Munach Mumakom Ploni. Oh, it's called Kikar Shu Beisel Lishchenav. You don't have to be in the house. You just, right, all you need to do is do the formal Kinyan, whether or not it is in front of you. Okay, and I just put the Aruch HaShulchan again of Sudar.
So this
okay.
Part of the Hecker?
What? So, yeah, I mean...
It's the food to be in front of you.
Right, I mean, you could have said it has to be in front of you, right. Right, you could have said it has to be in front of you for a heker. But again, that's not how most of the poskim pasken. According to the Rambam, one could have made an argument like that. But on the other hand, you could say, no, it's at least nikar that I did the kinyan suda, right? I did something symbolic. Okay, so that is the end of schus. Basically, halacha l'maaseh, what we do is we're mezakeh to everybody, and we explicitly say we're mezakeh to everybody, anyone who might show up. That's what we do. That's right, and therefore, as the Mishnah Berurah said, bisman hazeh, you don't have to get into the question of what if someone else moves in, because everyone knows that's exactly what we did. We verbalize it. We say this eruv is on behalf of anyone who lives here, anyone who will live here, anyone who visits for the next 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, whatever we do. Right, right. Our great, 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 great grandchildren. Right after Hong Kong goes back to China. Right, doesn't matter. Right, the Kenyan is forever. Okay, so that is topic one. Okay. Topic two is the question of bracha and bahadein, right? How do we actually set it up, right? So this is pretty straightforward. So, Sifya Gimel, Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, right? There isn't the Gemara doesn't tell you what the bracha is exactly and doesn't tell you the bahadein, so we just have to look at the poskim. So, Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah lachzor achar eiver chatzeres. You should look to do an eiver chatzeres. Now, the poskim argue of, is that because there's a positive mitzvah to set up an Erev Chatzeres, or we're worried that if you don't set up an Erev Chatzeres, people will be nichshal, right? The Mishnah Halachos is like 25 Halachos, that obviously it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, it's an active mitzvah. Many other poskim say, no, it's a mitzvah to do it, because otherwise people will mess up, but you don't want to carry or whatever, so don't do it. Okay, fine. Mevarech al mitzvahs Erev, and you make a bracha on the Erev. Mishnah Berurah notes in Ayin Tet, a mitzvah is Erev, when you make the bracha, who makes it? He says, afilo the macher, shein adar boso a'ir, verotza lishbos sham b'shabas, yochla varach b'rechazu. Even if you don't live, normally live here, but you happen to be a v'shabas, you can make the bracha. Anyone who's setting it up to, hey, elu lo irvu, haya elu lo irvu, haya gamhu, asho talto. Because if the people who live there didn't make the Erev Chatzeros, he would also not be allowed to carry. V'im kein gamhu sha'ech la'irov, v'ayin mashukasam v'ir alacha. And in maniach Erev tafshilam v'ir chatzeros b'zmanech. He said, what if you're making, okay, so just, the few issues we're going to have to look at is, in the context of bracha, the things that aren't straightforward is, what bracha do you make when you set up more than one Erev, meaning an Erev Chatzeres and an Erev Tavshilin, or Erev Chatzeres and a Shitufei Mavos, and the like? And two is, when do you make the bracha, before or after Schos? Those are basically the only issues that are unclear. So here we're going to deal with the language. He says, Imaneach Erevik Tavshilin ve'Erev Chatzeres b'man Echad. What if you're setting an Erev Tavshilin and Erev Chatzeres at the same time, which technically aren't the same thing, but they both have the word Eruv in them. So, the Mishnah Berurah Paskin, Varach Bracha Achas, I'll stay in. The Hainol Mitzvahs Eruvin. You say, I'll Mitzvahs Eruvin. The Omer HaNosach Bahadein Eruv Al Kol Echad, and you say the whole Nosach. Of Chayadam, Kazav Shiomra Mitzvahs Eruvay Tafshilim Eruv Chatzeros. The Chayadam says, no, you have to specify. Eruvay Tafshilim Eruv Chatzeros, the Omer Bahadein Yesharan Lalafule, Taltum Vaz Chatzar, and say two different parts of the Bahadeins. Okay. The Ber Alacha says, like we do, right? You make the Erev for the whole community Erev Pesach. If you're machmir and you want to make one every week, like some people do, and we dealt with the problems with this before, so obviously you don't make the bracha, right? That's pretty straightforward. If you're making Erev L'chumra, but there already is an Erev, so you don't make a bracha because your is just L'chumra, it's not the real Erev. Next, Ber Alacha, Al Mitzvah's Erev, Ayin Mishnah Berurah, Masha Kazav, L'Inyan Adam, Echad Sheshoves Be'ir, V'yachol L'varech Bracha Zuv, V'afilu Lo Yesham Rak B'yom. After the brackets, but he thinks if someone isn't going to be there for Shabbos or Yontev, he just is driving through, right? You know, Erev Shabbos at noon, he shows up and he's like, ah, well, I'm heading off to Hamilton, but I was just stopping by to say hello, so he can't do it. Says, why isn't this like a case where I ask Yisrael Meir, can you put up my mezuzah? It's not his mitzvah, but he can make the bracha for me because he does the maaseh. It's very simple. An Erev is a maaseh, right? There's no maaseh of Erev. The important thing is I'm saying this is an Erev, but there's no particular Maisa except setting it aside. So if he's part of the Erev, he can make the bracha. If he's not part of the Erev, he can't. We said, our minag, you do it once a year, is to give it to the rabbi, let him make the bracha. So let him do that, right? Let him do the schus, let him do the bracha, you solve all the problems, end of story.
So why in the case where he wants to do, why isn't that a bracha levatola?
When you... When he wants to what?
If the rabbi in the city included everybody, he said, I want to make my own.
So that's what he says. You can't make a bracha. You can make your own Eruv, but the Mishnah Berurah says, then you can't make a bracha.
Oh, not to make.
Yeah, no, not to make a bracha. He says, right? The chalitah of the nilgum game, ain't kedai shevarech alav. Right?
Oh.
Right? No, he says, don't make a bracha.
Ain't kedai. I don't know.
He's saying, the reason to say ain't kedai is because maybe you don't hold of his Eruv. Right? I mean, you might be more machmir. Right? Like, let's say I don't hold of Eruvin.
Uh-huh.
Let's say. Right? Naniach, that would be the case. Right? And I would want to make an Eruv with my, my landlord, just so I could carry in the hall, right, between our houses. Assuming I need it, which I may not, but fine. But assuming I would need it. So, I would say I've been Eruv Chatzeres, but I wouldn't say a bracha, because there is an Eruv. I just might not be Samech on it. So I set up an Eruv L'chumra. Right? But I can't say a bracha. In that case, you couldn't do it anyways because he owns the ovens, according to Moshe. I don't need an Eruv. Fine. Okay. Sif Tezvav. Amos Amivarech, when do you do it? So, Shocharav says, B'shah Shemekabit Ozebnei Chatzir. I collect the food from everybody. Or when I'm about to do the Zikui, V'omer B'hadein Eruva Yeshar Elam Afuke Laluyim and Abatim L'Chatzir. And then I say this language. With this Eruv, I'm allowed to carry from the house of the Chatzir, from the Chatzir L'Abatim, Yibayit L'Abayit L'Chol Batim Shal Chatzir. V'im Gavu Eruv L'O Ber Cholav. You don't make the bracha. Ina bracha Ma'akeves and Mutarim Lit Tal Tel. So, he says Bishah Shemikabi. He doesn't say before or after. He says Bishah, which leads to the question of what does Bishah mean, before or after? So, Mishnah Berurah says Bishah Mivnei Shekol Mitzvos Mivarech Aleihem Over Lasiyas, and he assumes it means before. I make the bracha and then I do this chos. Why? Over Lasiyas, and all brachas are done before you do the mitzvah. Lefi Mashkos Rama Da Minog Lekabitz Kemach Bate Ir and Levarach Bishas Kibos Davei Over to Over. And if I did it before I collected the food, it'd be over to Over. It would be too early, so I do it after I've collected the food, before I did the formal schos, right before I do the maaseh mitzvah, right?
Just by kemach.
Right, by kemach, right, be over dover. So it's right before I do the schos, right? That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Pei alef shemekabit, beis yosef abach kosvu, ditzarach levarach b'sha shemaschil lekabit. The beis yosef and the bach don't say it that way. They say, no, it's when you start collecting, v'lo shenignar b'kibbutz, agfar nigmar ha-mitzvah. Right? But then he says, no, I think it has to be the beginning of collecting the food, right, but not right before, not when I finish collecting, because then the mitzvah is done. And the Achronim, in the end, he says, say, as I said from the Shemur before, do it after collecting, before schus, and this is a kemach case. He says, and if you want to do it after you were mezakeh, you could do that too. He said, why? Because when does the eruv really take effect? At Ben Hashmashos. So it's not the masa mitzvah, it's the chalosa mitzvah. Right? So, lechatchila, he says, make the bracha before the zikui, meaning before the masa mitzvah. B'dieved, you can do it before the chalos of the mitzvah. Fine, then it pays. And Pei Gimel, he just explains why he didn't talk about Shittuv Mavos. Fine. He just notes in the end of Pei Gimel that if you're going to make an error for the whole year, then in your Bahadain, say, you can carry L'Kol Shabtot Hashanah, right? Bahadain should be as explicit as possible. This error of you're allowed to carry from house to chatzar, etc., for as long as I want to. Okay. In the Ber Halacha, He gets into the details of this Bishash Mizako. He says, I am Mishnah Berurah. He says, Vehine meabes Yosef Abach, Simon Shin Tadihe, Mashma da Bracha Tarachleos Kodem Sha Acher Magbiel Zakos Bishvilam. Does Mikri over Lasiasan. So here he says, not Kemach, right? He extrapolates, right? There's not Kemach. That's Shitufe Mavos, which is not Kemach. He says, make the bracha before your Mizake. Vehine Linin Dieved, Be Vada Yochalavarach Afilo Acher Hazikui. But the evidence you can do it afterwards before Ben Hashmashos. K'mosh kalsav v'magen Avram v'shagas ari mishum de'ikar k'nias eruv chal be'ez k'nisas Shabbos b'frat im hu adayin kodem shehunach eruv b'mkomo. And then he's machadish something. And he says, for sure, if it's before you put the eruv in the right place, because he thinks you need to put the eruv in a specific place and not just have it in your house, he says, there's still a mitzvah left. B'vada mikri adayin over layasa asiasing k'mosh kalsav aprisha umor k'tziya. And he says, you know what? Once I think that it's important to put the Erev somewhere, maybe it's better to wait till after the Zikui. Because it's true that when I'm collecting from everybody else, so I could do it at the beginning. Because if I'm actually collecting from everybody, so I'm starting the process of collecting the Erev. I just skipped a line. But if I'm going to be mezake to everybody for my own food, he says, look, if I'm collecting food from everybody, what's an Erev? An Erev is joint food. Once I've started collecting food from everybody, I'm in the process of making a joint Erev. So the second I've taken food from Reiter Chiner, we've started the process of joining together in an Eruv. So therefore, I can make a bracha at the beginning of that. But if I'm going to be mezaket to it, until I'm mezaket, I'm the only person who has any food. This is an Eruv food. So he says, if we're collecting joint food, you can make the bracha before you even collect it. If I'm going to be mezaket, I can't make it before I'm mezaket, because before I'm mezaket, there is no joint food. There's only my food. And therefore, I have to wait till afterwards, before I put it in the right place, or before Knesset Shabbos. He said, that's kodem to kodem. If I'm being mezak at everyone, before I give it to you, it is not an Erev at all. So the psak of the Mishnah Berura is lahalacha. If I'm actually collecting food from everybody, so then I should make the bracha at the beginning of the collection process. If I'm being mezakeh, I should do it after I'm mezaket, before I put it in the right place, before kenishtas Shabbos. And that's what he says. L'chadchilo, he thinks you should do it achar azikui. B'dieved, you can do it before azikui, like the other poskim. And that is how he concludes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch he's quoting is 33, which is just the halacha by shittuv mavoz. Mitzvah lachzar achar shittuv mavoz. Mavarech alav. Al mitzvah z'erev. Omer b'zeh shittuv yeimutel. Chol b'nei amavoy. Lahotz l'achvim chateros. L'mavoy b'shabbos. Emes ha-mavarech alav. And when do you say the bracha? B'shashem mekabit ozum b'nei amavoy. O b'shashem mezaka elohem. Either a collection or at zikui. Ramah v'im you don't make the bracha of Erev, ki ena Erev, ena bracha me'akeves. Okay. So, again, now, the only two issues we have to deal with are language and zikui. So we've seen the Mishnah Berurah's position on it. Let's just finish off the issues of bracha, and then we'll come back to the issues of zikui. So in terms of bracha, so we saw what happens when you set up more than one Erev. So Mishnah Berurah quotes two deos. The Chayadim who says if you set up Erev Tavshilin and Erev Chatzeres, you have to say two. You say one bracha, but alei ruvi chateros ve'alei ruvi tavshilin. The first position, the Be'er Halacha, the other acharonim is no. You just say al mitzvahs eruvin. Normally, you just say al mitzvahs eruv. El Yoraba says in 34, ameniach eruvi chateros ve'eruv tavshilin o eruv she'eruv chateros shiv mavos kolon bracha achan v'varacha mitzvahs eruvin b'lashon rabim v'kshesh lo harbe eruv chateros v'as achaz eruvin mavos kagon shu. So he has a pshara. He says, if you are setting up more than one type of Eruv, but only one of each, you say Eruvin. If you're setting up many, many Eruve Chatzeros, right, you are working on behalf of 10 different communities setting up separate Eruv Chatzeros, you say Al Eruv, right, because it's no longer on multiple Eruvin, it's just, I am the king of Eruv, I'm making a bracha on Eruv generally. Okay, Chavachayim has a few ha'aros here, and he says, first of all, mitzvah l'chazor, klomar, avgav de'iruv chatzir shuvim mavos me'arvin afilu dvar rishos, mekomav mitzvah l'chazor achreim, b'desh le'gidu li de'isr, tiltul b'chatzir. So this is just what I noted before. He says the mitzvah isn't to make an eruv, it's so that you don't end up carrying. Okay. In Gimel, he says, u'mevarech alav al mitzvahs eruv, gamo shitu ve'mevos shayach shem eruv. He says, why are you allowed to make eruv on both Eruv Chatzeres and Shittim Mavos, because they're both called Eruv. Al Shem Shem is Arvin, Kol Rishu Yisach Chatzeres Shem Mavos B'yachad. V'od Al Shem Ochel Nishmaz Mavos Shem U'urav B'kulam B'yachad. He gives two reasons. One is that what everyone else says, which is both Shittuf and Eruv are really Eruv. Second reason, he says, no, Al Mitzvah's Eruv doesn't mean on the mitzvah called Eruv. It's on the mitzvahs that we do through mixing our food, which is Eruv and Shittuf and Mavos. Okay, interesting linguistic point. Dalit, he writes, Amitzvah is Eruv. Umitzvah rotza la Arav Shnei Eruvim Vasachas. You want to make two Eruvim? What do you do? Zechar ze, Eruvim Chatzeros, Eruvim Tafshilin, Kolom Racha Achas. Vomo Mitzvah is Eruvim. So he quotes first the Mari Baton that was quoted in the Mishnah Berurah above. You say, Al Eruvim. They want to make a shituf and eruv chatzeres. They do the same thing. Miu mashkaz of maharam benusach habracha lomar mitzvahs eruvin. But when you make an eruv chatzeres and a shituf mevos, the maharam thinks you say eruvin. He says das hashiore knesses agdolo sham lomar mitzvahs eruv. That when you make an eruv chatzeros and an eruv and a shituf mevos, you don't say eruvin. You say eruv afilim of arav shnei eruvin yachad el shesim yikol makom kvar harazaken. V'chein gaz v'elia rabba, omer shlosha v'chein hiskim, hamaymer mordechai, omer sheni lomar al mitzvahs eruvin, v'tomal al shiara kinesis agdola, miu biz matei Ephraim, kasev yesh lomar al eruv chatzir v'erev tafshilin. But the matei Ephraim paskins like the chayadam, that you should say eruv chatziros v'erev tafshilin, v'omar al mitzvahs eruvin, da bekach, if you say eruv chatziros, al eruvin, it works, and then he quotes the chayadam. Right, so he says you have the range when you're doing more than one eruv. You have three possibilities: you say al eruv, al eruvin, or you specify the types of eruvin. I think standard is probably you just say al eruv, but you have all three shitas. I don't know, or eruvin. I'm not even sure. You find it in poskim all three ways, right? Al eruv, al eruvin, or al eruv tafshilin, al eruv chatzeros. In the end, the kavachaim is lechatchila. That you should say, right, like the Chayadam, but he says, but the Evid, you just said, mitzvah's Eruv, it's fine. Okay. Why would you think you should say, Al Eruve Chatzeros Val Shituv Mavos, or Al Eruv Chatzeros Val Eruv Tafshilin, right? Why would you think that? Right, so maybe that. So the post can bring up is one of two reasons. I haven't seen anyone say that, but that's another good svara.
We're worried all about used bread, so that you make sure the kids are aware that they should move on and everything that's above happen. It's sort of the language you use when you set them up.
Hey, in a chanami, it's a good point. So the post can bring up one of three. One, the Matei Ephraim, the reason he likes specifying and not saying al eruv al eruvin, but al eruv chatzeros shetuf mavos, eruv chatzeros v'eruv tafshilin, is the Gemara in Brachos Mem, Tein lo mein Brachosav, right? You're supposed to be specific in brachos and not generic. The Dirshu quotes this from the next argument from Dovim Meisharim, which I can't find Dovim Meisharim, but it is the Divrei Malkiel, which is Ein Osen Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, right? You don't do mitzvos in packages, 37. In 38, the Rav Moshe Sternbach says, what are you talking about? Ein Osen Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, when you do multiple actions at the same time, not where you literally only have to do one action, it's just you're making them all in one bracha. That's not chavilos chavilos. Chavilos chavilos is about masa mitzvah, not about bracha. So Tshuvas Vanagos in 38 rejects this. Okay, but that's the reason to do it. Again, lahalacha, you have three ways. When you make multiple eruvin, including eruv tafshilin, do you say al eruv, al eruvin, or al eruv tafshilin ve'eruv chatzeres? There are some achronim who just don't like this whole thing with eruv tafshilin and think you should just say two completely separate brachos, because what does eruv chatzeres have to do with eruv tafshilin at all, right? They just happen to have the same world. So the Divrei Malkiel himself doesn't like it at all. He says, I don't get my kesher ben zeh lezeh. I think you should just do two separate brachos. So in the end, he just doesn't like the whole thing. I tend to agree with him, but no one really, everyone seems to be okay with it. Not really sure. Then he has a whole diyun on it, but not for now. Okay. Fine. Bahadain. So the halacha is that neither the bracha nor the bahadain is ma'akev. The prima gadim thinks, though, that what happens if you say half the bahadain? So then he thinks it is ma'akev in 39. He says, if I say bahadain, so I've already shown that I'm starting the process of specifying what's mutter and what's not mutter. If I then stop in the middle, it doesn't work. Or if I say nothing, it works. If I say the full language, it works. But if I start saying it and then don't say enough, right? I say badene ruva, I can carry from chatzar to house, but I don't say from house to house, so the whole thing collapses because you showed actively that you misunderstood what the eruv is supposed to do. The kavachaim in 40 says, I don't know why. Lo yadana lama yigra masha amar miktas mishal amar klal. I don't think it's true, right? It's not, right? Just because you said part of the language doesn't matter. So that's another technicality. A third technical point is the question of what happens when you make an eruv. Do you need to have in mind this is an eruv chatzeros or a shituf mavos specifically? Most postim say no. right? I make a bracha, I say this is an Erev. It doesn't matter whether you understand the intricacies of whether something is a shituf mavoz or an Erev chatzera, it doesn't matter. We've seen in the past, the Chazon Ish thinks it does matter, that you need kavana, that this is an Erev chatzera or a shituf mavoz, and therefore he thinks it is important, but that's the Chazon Ish's shita in general. Okay, I gave you a bunch of things here. Really, there's really just one shuva here left. I put a bunch of small issues. One point from Shulchan Aruch, I'll say it outside, is that our minhag, based on the Gemara, is to set up both a shita of mavoz and a erev chatzeres. We don't, lemaisa, because we think everything is a chatzer. But as the Gemara said, we don't want people to forget about eruvin, so even if you've made a shita, if we make you make an erev chatzeres. The Ramah makes the obvious point that in that case, you don't make a second bracha. Because once the Gemara tells you, make eruvin, you don't need an erev chatzeres. Once you have a shita of mavoz, we just do it so you don't forget about eruvin, you don't make a bracha in that case. That's what the Ramah says in 42. The Nesiva Shabbos has a suffix. All the cases that we said function as Erevin, right? Like the Shutfin, where you don't need an Erev, or the Friday case. So as we've said, the big Chakira in those cases is it that counts as your Erev, right? We're all eating together Erev Shabbos, and we count this food as the Erev, so that is my Erev, or is it that I don't need an Erev? So the Nesiva Shabbos says, well, that a nafkamin of that is, do I make a bracha? Right, when I say, we're so mech on the food on the table as an Erev, do I make a bracha that moment or not? If you think that is your Erev, yes. If not, if it just means that you don't need an Erev, so you don't make a bracha, okay, fine. The last thing I gave you is Divrei Malkiel, who's the fullest discussion I saw about the question of, as we already started mentioning, do you make the bracha before or after being mezaket? So I highlighted the main points, right? I bolded them. So he says, the Ber Halacha LaHalacha said that he prefers you do it after your mezaket because otherwise the food isn't yet called an Eruv. The Divrei Malkiel raises several kashas. So he says, you just skip to the bold, along the bolded part. So he says a few kashas. First, he notes that the Yavetz Paskins, that you say the bracha after the your mezaket, like the Ber Halacha. That's in the first paragraph. He asks in the second paragraph, Od kasha da kaimalan demeinin over lasiyazo. I don't get it. How can you do that? We need over lasiyazo. V'kevin shekvar zika harei nasa eruv. Da kvar yesh al yidezo kol echem me'achatzer pas b'makom hazeh. It doesn't make sense. It's not over lasiyazo. So he said, you could have said, and this is the next paragraph, like the Rajba. The Rajba says that sometimes you can't make a bracha because it's a mitzvah which is tali v'das acher. The Rajba says the reason I can't make a bracha on staka is because I don't know if the ani is going to take it. So he says maybe you would have said the same thing here, that since until I mezaket everybody, I can't be sure that someone isn't going to back out. So, and if he backs out, it ruins the Erev, right? If someone says, I don't want to be part of the Erev, it ruins the whole Erev. So it's like the Rajba. So here we wouldn't say you make no bracha, but we'd say you have to wait to make the bracha. So he doesn't like that. He says, nah. If you skip down to the next bolded part, he says, that which the Rajba says, totally b'das acher, so they might undo the mitzvah. If that was the case, you should never be able to make a bracha on an Erev at all. The other lachs become kinesha Shabbos. We paskin that he's allowed to pull himself out later on, after the Erev. In the case of Erev Truman, he could set an Erev in the other direction. And he says the same thing is true. In Truma, you could be chozer b'sheila. Said, what's the rule? In all these cases, we rely on chazaka. So if you rely on chazaka, so you rely on chazaka, so you make it. So next paragraph, bolded, l'chari yishlomer, d'l'hachi yivarchi yiruv v'chatzeres achar haziko l'vish erev nasek sheminicho b'bayit, avalok shemenunach b'yad hazocha, sh'azur v'shuz hazocha. And then he says, and the suggestion of the Ber Halacha, right, that, okay, so do it after schos, but before you put it in the right place, because aren't you chayev to put the eruv in the right place, so there's still a ma'isa mitzvah? He says, no, I don't think that's true. The Gemara says the eruv has to be makom pita, where you eat. It doesn't say where makom pita. There is no special place. The eruv just has to be in your house. That doesn't count as a special place. So therefore, the Divrei Malkiel rejects the position of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, I don't agree with any svara to say that you do it after the zikoy. I think you have to do it before your mezaket, so that it's over l'asiyaso. So he argues, and this is, I think, the fullest treatment of anybody who argues on the Ber Halacha. So again, just to summarize the bracha issue, The issues in bracha are when do you make it? So the Ber Halacha LaHalacha thinks you say it after, before you collect, if you're actually collecting, and after your mezakeh, if you're doing it through mezakeh, but before you place in the right place. The Divrei Malkiel represents the other shitos that no, you really do it before your mezakeh because it needs to be over l'asiyaso. And then the questions of what is the lashon l'bracha when you make multiple ones. We saw 3 days, al iruv, al iruvin, or you specify. And then you have to say the Bahadain, which again is not ma'akev. The only question we raise is what if you say part of the language or... So then the Prima Gadim says it doesn't work, the Kavachayim says it does. And what happens if you say Bahadain and you say the bracha, but you have in mind the Erev Chatzeros instead of Shittim Mavos or vice versa? So there the Chazon Ish thinks it doesn't work, but everyone else says it does work. And again, that's basically a summary of the not so many issues that exist in bracha and in Zikui. And that is it for the year. Okay.